If you have your Bible tonight, I invite you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. As we continue with our Thanksgiving thoughts, because this is exactly what this psalm is. It is titled Thanksgiving for God's Deliverance. Thanksgiving for God's Deliverance. And the psalmist in writing this was one of those psalms that was used to remind the children of Israel where they had come from, Brother Robert. Also, to help them to recognize and understand that our feet are clay as well. And because of that, we need our our continual support from God, our continual love of God, God's continuous long-suffering, so that we may know and recognize, even in the day that we live, that we're out of the past and we're headed to the future. And the thing about it is, it's getting better and better. I heard a story told of this man. His name is M.L. I can't remember his last name. But after he got saved late in life. I think he was nearly 50 years old when he got saved. And he coined that phrase, says, it's getting better and better and gooder every day I live. I mean, we asked him how he's done. That's how he said, it's getting gooder and gooder and better every day I live. Of course, there's an English professor in this church, and she just could not handle him. Said, I mean, she just tried to close her ears, get away from him. Anyhow, several years later, he come down with sugar diabetes in the hospital as they're checking him out, and she went to see him. She says, how's it doing? He says, it's gooder and gooder and sweeter and better and better. Says, just proof, says, I got sugar. So it's how you look at things many times. Is that right? In this psalm, I'm going to ask you to do something with me. When I get to verse 8, I want you to read that with me. So would you stand for the reading of God's word and remain standing for prayer? This morning we looked at the unity of thanksgiving. As Brother I.B. brought up Psalm 133. Tonight I want to look at the thanksgiving for a God that delivers. And I thank God that He does. Psalm 107, verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures how long? Forever. Just hold your place right there. Turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Is that a repeat of 136, verse 1? Look what it says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good for what? Read that. I look at verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods for what? Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, what? To Him who alone doeth great wonders. To Him that wisdom made the heavens, by wisdom made the heavens. If you go through this whole chapter, you will see that's how the close of the verse is. For His mercy endures forever. Now back to our Psalm 107. I just wanted to use a proof text here. Look what it says in the next verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 8, read it with me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look down in verse 15. Read that one with me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look also in verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now turn to your neighbor and read verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you tonight to give you thanks and to praise you for this wonderful opportunity on this side of eternity to worship you. Lord, so many times we take that very lightly. We take it very lightly because we do not expect anything. We come with our flippant attitude, seemingly not caring about the things of God. But I pray, O Lord, tonight that we've come expecting you to do something and to say something to each of our hearts. I pray, O God, tonight that as we leave this place that we will be, Lord, everything that you'd have us to be for your glory. I pray once again, Lord, that you'll take these feeble lips of clay and you'll anoint them with the very power of your Spirit that they may speak the truth of your Word. And Lord, because of the leadership of your Holy Spirit in our lives tonight, that you'll speak to each of our hearts. Lord, it's not important what I have to say, but it's important what your Word has to say and what thus saith the Lord God. And I come, Lord, asking tonight that you would just magnify your very self and your person. Help us to recognize and understand, O God, that you care for us and you love us with an eternal, everlasting love. And you want what's the very best for us as your children. But Lord, so many times we are disobedient. We are hard-hearted and hard-headed. And Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us and you'd help us to be more of what you'd have us do. Oh God, I pray that you'd take us in your loving hands and you'd mold us and make us. And may the Lord be pliable that you can take us and make us the vessel that you could use for your glory and for your honor. Help us, oh God, tonight to look deep within our hearts and our soul and look to you for what you have in store for us. We ask it in the wonderful and blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord and for his glory alone. Amen. The passage we read together tonight in 107, we see that it's divided up in this first section in four parts because of the declaration that you read and we read together. And that is a dividing point in it because it goes over, as I said a while ago in the opening remarks, over the history of Israel. And the thing we need to recognize is God is a God of deliverance. And we need to thank him. And that's what the psalm is all about. It is a thanksgiving for the God of deliverance, the one who has the awesome power to step into man's affairs whenever seemingly there is absolutely nowhere to turn. Have you ever been there? When you didn't know where to turn, didn't know what to do? Let me tell you something. When we turn to God and we trust God, that's why so many people today are alcoholics. That's why so many are drug addicts today, because they don't know where to turn. This thing's a flopping around. My ear's about to come off what it is, I reckon. But anyhow, they do not know where to turn because of the pressures of society, because of the pressures of life, and they seemingly are just unconcerned about the spiritual matters, when in all actuality, this is the only way they're ever going to find any relief or have any relief, as they turn to God and trust God. The wisest man on the planet that ever lived was Solomon. He wrote, that's where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of it or part of it, but all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, not some of your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And it says, and he shall direct your paths, meaning that God will intervene in the circumstances when we put first things first, when we recognize him and who he is, and we really trust him the way that we should. Some of you can attest to that tonight. Some of you can stand up and give testimony of that tonight. We've had that already. But I want us to look at this passage because there's something that we want to see in it. First of all, we need to recognize, as this part of the passage as we look, that God is a praise of thanksgiving for the God of deliverance as he brought the children of Israel from weariness to rest. There in verses 4 through 8, we read that. But look at the cause of their plight or their problem in verse 4 and 5. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. The term solitary means a desolate place, and that's what they did as they wandered through the wilderness. They were in desolate areas and desolate places. cases. Why? Because of their disobedience to Almighty God. And let me tell you something. Sometimes if we're not careful, when we are not being or we're not following God, not living in the will of God, we find ourselves in those desolate situations, desperate situations. But you know, that's not the end of it. Look what it says. They found no city to dwell in, nowhere to go. Nowhere to go, desolate place. Look what it says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. The term there is they become utterly discouraged because of the circumstances. In other words, in the wilderness wandering, they become so discouraged. That's why they railed out at Moses. That's why they talked about things of Moses and talked about him bringing him out in this wilderness to die of starvation. And they said, we wish we were back in Egypt, but there we could sit by the flesh pots and we had something to eat. We had water to drink. But here, we're desolate. We're destitute. But look at what it says. Then we see something transpired. It says their cry in their position. They were in verse 6. Look what it says. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. The term distresses there means they were in a strait. They had nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. But God is one. It makes no difference. It makes no difference when we don't have anywhere to turn. When we turn to him and look to him, he can deliver us out. That's exactly what this scripture is saying. Because as the children of Israel recognized and understood that in their process of going from the promised land, those 40 years of wandering was brought on by their own willful disobedience. We know, as the book of Numbers tells us, that it should have been just an 11-day journey. But here they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Why was it? Because of disobedience, because of a wrong report that was given, and therefore they fell by the wayside. But let's look farther at this, because there's something more to it than that. We see the cause of their plight or their problem. We see their cry, and then we see the cure of that plight. Look in verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Did you catch that? That they might go to a city, not up to it and fall short of it, but they went into that city, not up to a stumbling point or part of it and missing the mark, but here they went to a city of habitation. God had provided for it. See, that's the thing about it so many times in our life. I've come to realize in my older days, and I hope some of you younger people will realize this in your younger days. That's the reason I'm telling you. God has blessings upon blessings that are waiting for us. But you know what our problem is? Is we don't really trust God for what he wants to do in our life. Maybe we need to get back to the prayer of Jabez, and we need to examine that and look at it very close. Because Jabez, the Bible says that Jabez was an honorable man. That means that he found a meaning and purpose. And it says, and he prayed, and this is what he prayed. He says, Lord, bless me indeed. Now that sounds selfish, does it not? But it's not selfish. The Bible talks about the blessings of God, and God has blessings for us. He says, Lord, bless me indeed. He recognized that God, it was a prayer of humility, because he recognized that the blessings come from God. All blessings come from God. I don't care who you are. Bless me indeed. But then he said, second, he says, and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. You know what he was saying there? He said, Lord, help me to see beyond my limitations that I have placed. You remember, didn't y'all ever plow a mule? Ain't nobody ever plowed a mule, have they? And you put that bridle on that mule, and on the side of that mule there was what they called, what was that things on the side of their eyes? Blinders. You know what the blinders were there for? To keep from seeing the things to the side, the peripheral around, just to look ahead or look down. Right? That's what they do. You look down just where to go. But that's exactly the way we are many times. That's what Jabez was saying. Lord, remove the blinders. Take away the fences. Take away the limitations that I may see beyond myself. And I may recognize that in the periphery of where I've been looking, that you have blessings innumerable there for me. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. He says that your strong arm may be upon me or with me. And let me tell you something. When he prayed that, he recognized that for him to reach the goal of those things beyond his limitations, that God had to intervene in certain ways. Did you know the children of Israel, God had already given them the promised land? When they were on this side of the Jordan and they were looking over, God had already given them the promised land. He promised them that where their soles of their feet went, where they touched it, it was all theirs. Because why? God had already deemed it and given it to them. But you know, there are problems like ours. They went as far as they wanted to go and they stopped. They got complacent and it caused problems later on. He says, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast that your strong arm will be with me. He says also in the at prayer, how does it go? That your strong arm be and keep me from the evil one or the evil influences. And let me tell you something. God's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can protect us. He's the only one that can provide the shield, I guess we could say, the shield from the snares of Satan and the things of Satan and the tactics of Satan. It's only by His strong hand and His arm that we can recognize and understand that He is the not only the provider, as He says, but also the protector. And then He says that I may not pain thee. And that's what His name meant, pain. And we don't know why He's the name Jabez, and that's what it means, pained or brought forth in pain. Maybe it's because of a circumstance in his life, because of his birth, because maybe his father died. I don't know what it was, but that's what the terminology Jabez means, painful experience. But let me tell you something. In that prayer, it says, and God honored him because Jabez prayed from his heart. And he recognized that. Here, the children of Israel, that's exactly what their plight, but the cure of their plight was Almighty God. And then we read the celebration there in verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That's significant. That's very important because He moves them from weariness to rest. But there's another part. The next part starts in verse 10 through 15. The cause and the problem is verse 11 and 12. Look what it says. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contend the counsel of the Most High. The term there, contend, means to despise, to loathe, to make light of. The very counsel of the Most High. Because they rebelled against God. The term rebel or rebel means that they were in opposition to God because they put themselves above God. And let me tell you something. Anybody that rebels against God, he's in for a rude, crude awakening somewhere down the road. And they did. They were. Look what it says. Then we see their cry again in verse 13. And they cried unto the God in their trouble, and He saved them. The term there can be delivered or become a savior unto them out of their distresses. And He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. So here we see that this God, this praise, the God that we can praise because He's a God of deliverance, He brought them out of their utter darkness into light, their cure in verse 14. He brought them out of that darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. This is talking about the bondage they found themselves in. And then there's the celebration again in verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. If you look at this, it's grouping this together. It's telling us that these are travelers and pilgrims along life's road. And as they travel, let me tell you something. As they travel and as we travel, we need to recognize that many times we find ourselves in perilous times, in troubled times, things happen, surroundings happen, and we can't understand them. But let me tell you something. When we cry out to God and we look to God, there can be a great celebration in our life. A great celebration. Why? Why? Because God is faithful. Is that group of travelers who become lost on their journey and gone astray, are they any different than you and I? Here in this section, second section, those miserable fetters of darkness and cause of the darkness and the prison of darkness that controlled them. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people today that are still living in the darkness. They're living in the dark. They have not come to the light of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. John said that He was the light. Jesus came into the world to dispel the darkness. And let me tell you something. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you will never know what the light of the world is because He is the light of the world. The third part here as we look at this passage is something else for us to see. In this we see it from the terrible sickness to health and healing in verses 18 through 21. We won't have time to read all these, but let's look at it together. We see in this part, verse 17 and 18, we see the cause of their problem. Look at it with me. Verse 17 says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Did you catch that? fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. I didn't say that. God said it. And if you don't like it, you take it up with God, okay? Verse 18. Their soul abhorred all manner of meats, and they drew near unto the gates of death. But then they cried. Look in verse 19. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses, out of their problems, out of their situation that they found themselves in. See, God did not drive them there. They wandered there. They went there on their own volition. That's what the term rebel means. That's what the term fool there means, is one who openly, with his eyes open, goes in opposition to the will and the purpose of God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's exactly what it is, because they do not and will not recognize the authority of God and the awesomeness of who God is and what He wants in their life. Because see, what God has for us is the very best. God did not give the Ten Commandments to be thou shalt not, but they are for a purpose, and that purpose is to help us to live life to its very fullest. And we've got a lot of people today that look at the negative aspects of the Bible, and they never even think about the positive things that God can and will do. But then there's another part of this, from terrible sickness to health and healing. Look at it, from danger to safety. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. My voice is going to quit before we get through. Verse 26 and verse 27. It says, they mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. The term melted there, you know what that means. And the term, their soul has literally drained out of them because of the problems, because of the pressures, because of the things they're under, because of their sin and because of being caught in their sin. But look what it says. Look what it says, verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are there at their wits' end. In other words, they have nowhere to turn. That's what that term, there. You ever been to your wits' end? Anybody ever been to their wits' end? What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I'll tell you what you do. You turn to God. Turn to God. Because it's only in and through Him that we can find what we stand in need of, and exactly what He wants for us. Look at verse 28 again. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storms a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Do you need the waves to be still tonight? Are you wrestling with things in your life like those disciples in that boat when they were washing back and to and rowing back and to and did not know what to do and did not know where to turn? When Jesus was on board, it was one thing. He was asleep. They woke Him up. But then the next time they were in that boat and they were rocking and reeling back and to, and Jesus was nowhere around. But you know what? In and through their problems and in and through their troubles, the same waves that were rocking the boat, Jesus came walking to them on those waves. And you know what? Many times in our life, that's exactly when Jesus comes to us to make us know His presence, to make us understand His sweetness, to make us come to realize that in and through those problems and those troubles, yes, Lord, I will go through that if You will come to me. If You will come to me. There's a song that was wrote several years ago. It goes something like this: whatever it takes for my will to break, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. Will we be able to do that? Will we be willing to do that? Because see, in and through the storms of life, Jesus comes. See, from danger to safety. From danger to safety. Look what it says in verse 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Their desired haven. In other words, when we're in those storms, and you remember the time I was referring to there, Jesus, when He came, and that's when He asked Peter to walk on the water, and Peter began to walk. And in the process of his going to where Jesus was, as Jesus just said one word, come,
And as he began to come, he saw the boisterous waves and how the wind was causing such havoc. And the Bible says he began to sink. He began to sink. He began to sink. And then he cried out, "Lord, save me." And we know the Lord reached down and saved him. And the Bible says in Luke's gospel, I believe it says, that then immediately they were at the land. They were at the land. They were at the shore. Here we see that they found their desired haven. The safety is the terminology here. That's what God can do from the dangers of life. All those things in our life, he's one that can bring us to a safe harbor, because let me tell you something, in and through him and by him alone is safety to be found. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. What does this say to us tonight? What does it say to us tonight? Those whose sinful ways show them to be foolish, and they suffer as the results of their perverseness. But then the last part section here was like an example. Sailors who had narrowly escaped shipwreck and the watery grave, now they can praise God. Look what it says in verse 31, and we read that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Miss Dorothy, if you come. Hymn numbered 644. Can you put it on the board? Before we sing this, I want to share a testimony about it. Several years ago, a young man who was a minister of music in a church went on a mission trip to South America, somewhere down in South America. And they went to several mission points and helped church in revival service at a schedule. Each day they'd go. And one time they went to this where several lepers were, a leopard colony. Of course, there's some other people there too. But as he began the service that night, he thought it would be good to just have someone to maybe request their favorite hymn. And there was a lady there in a wheelchair, and leprosy had eaten nearly all her fingers off and her whole nose off. And she held those little stubble hand. And out of that mouth that was so distorted because of leprosy, she says, "Sing, count your many blessings. Count your many blessings." Here we're whole tonight. We don't have leprosy. We don't know what we might have, but we don't have leprosy. But here this woman, he said he led that song and he cried through every word of that song. Because here was this lady in this kind of condition, this kind of problem, and yet she could realize that she had many blessings, blessings beyond measure. Someone asked him after that, he says, "Well, have you ever sung that song again?" He says, "Yes, sir, but a lot better than I ever sung it before, because of that little lady and what she wanted, because she recognized that God was the blesser. Even in her problem and situation, she wanted to sing, 'Count Your Many Blessings.'" Let's sing it together. Will you do it? When upon life's billows you are beat, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what count blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessing, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Oh, 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 oh. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Who wants to share a blessing with us? Name them one by one. Who wants to share a blessing? Miss Donna. Amen. Let's finish that verse. Where we leave off, count your many blessings, name them one by one. We'll get on the next verse. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Have many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Counting, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has. Let's go with the third one. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, not by your reward in heaven and your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Who else? Right.
And I can't think of a better blessing than being fulfilled and having a spot. Now, sometimes I don't know what the Lord has in store for me or what I should do or where, what direction I should be in, but that emptiness is not there anymore.
Hallelujah.
And if y'all have ever had that emptiness and y'all been where I've been, y'all will understand what a blessing it is to have that black hole is what I call it. I guess it's part of your soul
void.
Is missing. I guess that's what the Lord has wrote upon our heart, and that's one thing that a lot of young people miss out on these days, and that's why I love our church. And I hope each and every one of y'all, at every time that you can ever have a chance, it doesn't matter whether it's a convenience store, where it's at, it's always appropriate to talk about the Lord, and especially to just give a good testimony. He asks us to be witnesses, not lawyers, and not judges. He wants us to be the witnesses. And all a witness is a person that has seen something, and then you just tell about it.
Amen.
You tell people about that type of stuff and where you've been. They might have a black hole in them. They might be looking for the same thing I was looking for, and it was so simple. It was right there in my face the whole time.
Scripture said,
Jesus never left me.
Scripture said their soul melted away.
Sir?
Their soul melted away, that's what it said. Let's finish that verse. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. blessings. Name them one by one. Hold it. Who else? Don't you go away and let the devil rob you of a blessing tonight.
I can keep going. I got a miracle baby on the way.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Let me tell you something. We've all got a lot to be thankful for, have we not?
Amen.
Have you ever really stopped and tried to count your blessings? Just sit down and start naming the blessings. Write them out.
Marshall, that's what I was saying. If I keep talking about my blessings, y'all be ready to run me out the door.
Write them down if you have time this week sometime, because we need to thank God, who is a God of deliverance and who cares about us, and He blesses us in spite of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Let's sing the rest of it. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I thank God that He allowed me to finish. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. I don't know your heart tonight. I don't want to know your heart, but I want your heart to be in tune with the Lord. I feel tonight in my spirit that someone needs to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to put it all on the altar before you. As Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship or service. If God has spoke to you about a problem in your life, He wants to deal with it tonight, not tomorrow, next week, but right now. It may be some habit, it may be some problem that you're facing or you're in or that you're going to face. We serve a God that's a God of deliverance. And maybe you're here tonight and you do not know Him. You do not know Him in the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. Let me tell you something. You'll never know what life is all about until you know Jesus Christ. Your life will have no meaning, no significance, no purpose apart from Jesus Christ, because it is only in and through Him that you can know and have life. Let's pray together. Father, you know each of our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves.